This show is brought to you by the Podcast Network. If you're interested in finding out about some of our other shows, or you would like to advertise or sponsor a show, please go to www.thepodcastnetwork.com for more details.
G'day, you're on the pod with Mick and Ken from the G'day World Podcast.
It's Wednesday, the 2nd of February, down under. This is G'day World. G'day, Mick.
G'day, Cam.
And in the green room today, we have Toby Bloomberg from Bloomberg Marketing, Diva Marketing. And Mick and I just found out that Toby's actually a chick.
I knew that.
And I've just been reading my emails, and it's going, hey, dude, love your blog. Yeah, mate, it'll be good. And I've just rung Mick and gone, mate, Toby's a girl.
I knew that. I was waiting for you to say that.
And he said, oh,
like Diva Marketing doesn't give it away.
Yeah, well, you know, guys can be divas. I know a few bloke divas. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I got a queen that.
Parade, but...
Really? I don't know if you read my blog or not, but the other day I did something on a Lancôme email ad, and I had a queen answer. A queen made a comment.
There you go.
So you never know who's lurking out there.
Hey, I actually know a princess. But that's another story.
Uh-huh.
He tells this one all the time. It's all right.
I do. The Princess of Denmark.
Really?
Yeah, she worked for me a couple of years ago before she was a princess. She then went on to become a princess, you know. So, hey, now I know a diva and a princess, and who knows? Anyway, Toby Bloomberg, welcome to the show. Woo!
You know, you guys have actually made my February. I'm so excited to be here. You have no idea.
Oh, of course we do. Everybody's excited to come on this show.
That's what Howard Rheingold was saying earlier today. Exactly the same thing.
Yeah, you're actually... It's 9 o'clock in the morning here, Toby. You're the third interview we've done today. We did our first interview at 4:30 a.m. our time with Howard Rheingold. And, you know, so we're jazzed. I hope you're ready for this. This is, you know, we're in the zone. We're in the show zone.
Are you? Well, I have my... You know?
No, we're really asleep. We're hoping you're going to do all the talking.
Third interview in 5 hours. It's been going all day.
Well, no Starbucks coffee next to you?
Ooh. Don't say such horrible things. There's only one place I drink Starbucks coffee, and that's LAX, because after a 14-hour flight over the Pacific, anything will do. That should be Starbucks. That should be Starbucks' new tagline. Are they one of your clients, Toby?
No.
If you ever get them as a client, just that should be the new tagline. Starbucks, after a 14-hour flight, anything will do.
No. Starbucks, the tagline should be like, at least we consistently ...
make crap coffee. So we're coffee snobs. We're both, Mick used to live in Melbourne. Melbourne is the coffee capital of the world, Toby. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
The only place in the world you can get a decent coffee is in Melbourne, and I've been all over. I've been all over, Toby, and we have the best coffee in the world. But anyway, there you go. I'm sure everybody says that. Anyway, I feel like I'm running off of the mouth here, as I tend to do. Toby, tell us a little bit about Bloomberg Marketing.
Bloomberg Marketing is a marketing consultancy that helps companies secure clients. What I really like to do is work with companies that have an online presence and build marketing strategies using new media and then weaving traditional around it because, as we say, not all your customers are online all the time. That sounds like a tagline, but it's not. Anyway, that's the elevator statement.
You've done that before. A few times.
Why the hell aren't they online all the time? I'm online all the time. What's their problem?
I don't know. There's a lot of strange people out there. They just don't get it. Or maybe they have lives. I think that's it. They must have lives.
Oh, lives. Yeah, we remember those, don't we, Mick?
Nah.
We had lives once. And how long have you been running Bloomberg Marketing, Toby? Tell us the genesis of Bloomberg Marketing and...
Do you want the real skinny on this?
I do.
You want the real truth on this?
You grew up with a dad who was in marketing, didn't you?
Oh, you read my bio.
Hey,
I'm duly impressed.
We do research occasionally.
Yeah, you didn't find out I was a chick until just now.
Well, it was, yeah, that bit escaped our attention. There's no photos. You got to put some photos up on your blog, you know.
I know I should do that. I'll send you guys one of me riding an elephant. How's that? I don't want to go there either. Don't even think about
it.
How did this thing start? Well, actually, I was working for the Georgia Lottery about 7 years ago and having a great time. And the CEO, in all of her wisdom, decided that she needed to cut some heads off the payroll so that she could make the bottom line look a little bit better to the government. So my position was cut. I was offered a job in sales, and I said, no, thank you kindly, and went off on my own looking for work. And one person asked me to do a project, and another person asked me to do a project, and I really wanted to do something with ITV. And I started researching it and researching it, and, you know, 7 years ago, the internet was just about growing up. And somebody said to me, you really ought to look into internet marketing, a friend of mine, Tom Lynch. And I said, well, okay, I can park there until ITV comes along. And ITV never really came along. So one thing led to another. And one day someone said, how's your job hunt? And I said, oops, I guess I forgot to look for one because I had all these weird projects happening. And I started my business. So I did everything wrong. And I work with small businesses all the time, and I tell them to develop plans, and they do, and I help them do that. But you know what they say about the cobbler's children going barefoot.
And tell us about your role with the AMA. You're on the board of the American Marketing Association.
I wear several hats with AMA. I am the chair of 9 online communities that we call SIGs, Shared Interest Groups, and I moderate the internet e-commerce group list. And by the way, I should have you guys moderate that. It's on a listserv basis, so it's not live. We don't have any kind of podcasting going on, but we'll talk about that off list. And I also have been asked to chair the what AMA is calling Blogs Marketing Beyond the Website program, which we are doing a coast-to-coast national tour, as we like to say. We hit Seattle in December. We did New York in the middle of freezing January, 7 degrees, and we go to Chicago this month. We looked at markets and not weather, and it's amazing that all these wonderful men, and I don't know how this happened, guys, but it's all men and Toby, all these wonderful men are still talking to me after New York.
Is this the one that Scoble did?
Yes, this is the one that Robert did.
Yep. Scoble, and the person currently being nominated for president, we believe,
I
by
read that.
Jeremy Wright. Yeah.
He's wonderful. He's great. I adore Robert.
Everybody adores Robert.
He's friendly. He's funny. He's so real.
He is. He's a
lovely. Not that you are not, but yeah.
Oh no, we're the shadows of Robert. We're gratuitously vulgar. Didn't you catch that?
I did immediately.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to New York in a couple of weeks. It gets cold. I was there this time last year. It gets freezing, doesn't it? It's
7 degrees. It was horrible.
And that's Fahrenheit, right? That's like,
yeah, that's even Fahrenheit.
That's,
yeah,
not
would,
even real,
yeah,
temperature. Like real temperature, no. It's even colder.
Ooh, brr.
Okay, so now going to pitch mode for us now, Toby. Tell us why companies should have a blog.
Oh, as if you didn't know, but I'll get on my soapbox and say, first of all, more and more companies are out there blogging. And so if your company doesn't have one, someone's going to pick up and start talking about you. So you might as well talk about you. That seems to be the first one. Search engine lift is another huge one. That's been one of the silver bullets for me in how I can sell it into companies that don't exactly understand what blogs are when I show them the search engine optimization and how they can get rankings so quickly, so high immediately, they just start drooling, salivating, and they're on within a drop of the hat. But, you know, the other reason is, in all seriousness, the bottom line is to put a personalization to your company, to give some sort of relevancy to your brand, and accessibility to the general Joe that would have no way of, in a large organization, walking through it and finding people that he or she could talk to. I mean, where else in the world could you talk to the vice chair of GM but on his blog? I mean, that is awesome.
Are you advising your clients as well in strategies for reading and responding to blogs? Because I often think of that as one of the first steps that many companies should start to take in the blogosphere.
Yeah, it's the best way to learn how. I mean, there are a lot of books that are being written right now, and we both have friends that are out there beating the pavements for publishers, and Jeremy just got one, which is great. But the best way to do it is to get in and do it. I've been talking about blogs for about 2 or 3 years before I started mine, and mine's just a wee blog. It really hasn't surfaced above the radar screen, although every once in a while when Scoble links to it, I get a surge. But Dana Van Heuvel, if you know Dana from Dana's blog, said to me in the spring, said, Toby, you better stop talking about blogs and start doing blogging because your credibility is going to be crap. And so I started my blog, and I realized that I can talk and talk and talk about it, but it's one of these things that unless you actually get out and do it, you don't realize the impact of it. So, yes, I'm telling clients to read blogs. I'm telling clients to go on to Blogger and to download a free blog and just play around with it until they get a sense of what they want to do and then to take it off and go public with it.
So how long have you been running Diva Marketing for now?
Since May of last year.
May 2004.
Yeah. But I thought when I first found blogs, and I don't even remember how I found them, I thought, what a great way for small businesses to have a web presence very inexpensively. But
yeah, and I think one of the points you made earlier on is key here, because I think a lot of people who aren't active in the blogosphere, either reading or writing, don't necessarily appreciate the difference between a blog and a traditional website. Can you believe I use those words together, traditional and website? We've all been around long enough to remember when nobody knew what a website was. But I think that's the key thing, is helping businesses understand the difference, and search engine captivity is a key one, right?
That's a great word, search engine captivity. I've never heard anybody put it that way, but yeah, I love that. You're right.
I just trademarked it. You can
oh, and I was going to blog that. Uh-oh.
you have to ka-ching me each time you use it.
Okay. But you're right.
Yeah, and getting back to the reading blogs, who did we have on the show a couple of days ago, Mick? It was Hobie Swan from MindJet. He's the manager of PR at MindJet. And I threw a question out, which I threw out to a lot of the corporate executive type folks we've had on the show recently. It's like, okay, if I went up to my blog this morning and said, look, your product, I've used it and I think it sucks, and here's a bunch of reasons why it sucks, how quickly would somebody from your organization discover that post and respond to it, and how would you go about responding it, and who inside of your organization would find it, etc.? And he admitted that, you know, they at the moment, he does a day pop search, I think, once a week, but they don't really have a process in place for responding. And I think we had Steve Rubell on the show a week or two ago, and I was mentioning that I still get really excited when I actually do complain about somebody's product on my blog and they respond within 12 hours. Somebody picks it up and issues a, you know, proactive response. And Steve was positing that, you know, within 5 years that will be commonplace. But I think we've got a long way to go. I think most organizations still really don't know what to do if they get, you know, bad reviews. I don't even think they're listening, actually, for a start. And if they are, I don't think they know how to respond.
I think what's really interesting is a couple of days ago I posted on one of my blogs about a US company called Boston who do media monitoring. And they announced in late December that they were starting up a new service to offer blog monitoring to their clients. And they had selected 250 specific blogs that they were not going to mention that they would monitor for their clients. And it sort of sounded strange to me that they had picked 250 blogs, and that was going to be the blogosphere, according to Boston.
Well, it could be their niche market. it could be competitors in it, and it could be.
I think they were sort of saying that out
it
of
could
entire,
be media.
I think they were saying out of their entire blogosphere, the way the press release was written, it was like they were going to pick 250 blogs, and they listed a few of them. So they listed like Gawker and a few of the known ones. It just sounded like a traditional media reaction to.
That's what I was going to say. Is this Cameron?
Mick.
Mick, I think that you're absolutely right, especially the guys and the gals in the corporation. I have to keep on saying that, but they don't get this new media yet. They don't get that a little blog like Diva Marketing might attract somebody that is a huge user of their product, and so they really need to monitor Technorati in general. I think they're looking at the way. As you said, old media was where you hired a clipping service and you just went out and you clipped on the basis of the larger newspapers and magazines. People just, they're not getting it yet. They will.
No,
it's
quite interesting.
Going to bite them.
Because they were turning around sort of saying that they've, you know, amazingly they've decided to devote 3 full-time staff to looking at blogs to see what the thing is. You know, it's like.
It's a start. It's like, you have to apply them
for that. Yeah, it definitely is, but it's sort of like, well, guys, you could almost do that with a Technorati search. And God forbid, what are you actually billing your clients? For that service. So.
Now, Mick and I also want to know how we join the PBA.
The PBA?
Pro Bloggers Association.
You just say, I want to join, and I will make sure you're in.
So tell us... Tell the listeners, Toby, a little bit about the Pro Bloggers Association.
Pro Bloggers Association is a group of professional bloggers who wanted to get together to promote blogging as a credible marketing and business strategy. That's pretty much the bottom line of it. And so we talked about, we're still in the process, actually, of defining where we want to go, defining goals and objectives, and defining bylaws. But basically, it's a group of people who are passionate about blogging, who want to help the business and marketing community understand that blogs are a credible tool to use.
And
it's as simple as that.
What qualifications do you have to be a professional blogger? Do you, like, Mick and I don't have jobs or incomes. Does that make us professional bloggers?
I don't know. We haven't defined what a professional blogger is. I think it's people that are out there in the business community as opposed to the personal community, as opposed to teenage diaries.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, Mick and I also both put Google AdSense on our blogs in the last week. You know, I think I made 4 cents out of it last night.
I made 32 cents on Saturday.
There you go. So we're now professionals. We're getting paid.
I am impressed. And how much is a beer in Australia these days?
Oh, it's free. Beer's free in Australia. Beer and kangaroos to ride on, particularly for our American friends when they come out. We provide every American tourist with a kangaroo. And as much free beer as you can drink.
Crikey.
Struth, mate. Well, I think that's a great initiative, an organization.
But what do you think about the concept, though? Do you think it will fly? I mean, right now we're beginning.
Yeah, I guess I haven't really figured out what the point of it is, but, you know.
I think we think there is strength in numbers.
Yeah, I mean, if it's if it's a group of people who can work together and bounce things off idea to further, you know, the cause, as I like to call it. then I think there's strength. Yeah, there's some definite strength in it. And looking at some of the people that are involved, there's sort of a cream of the crop of some of the marketing bloggers out there and stuff like that.
So my only concern is that on the site you talk about one of the missions of the PBA is to set ethical standards. And Mick and I are all about reducing ethical standards in blogging. we think there's just too much ethics going on and it's just not shady enough. We want a little bit more shadiness.
What do you think about that, Toby?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, down under, you guys can do that. But when you bring it into the corporations, and if you want the big guys to use it... They would like not to think that it's a pirate type of strategy.
Yeah, because you're right. Because, I mean, most of the large American companies have a lot of ethics. you know, are well known for their high ethical standards. And you wouldn't want to besmirch them in any way.
No, we wouldn't want to do that at all. No.
Where was the Enron blog? I missed that one.
But can you imagine what would have happened if Enron had had a blog?
Yeah.
What would have that been like? Oh.
Well, you know, I'm an ex-Microsofty, and the whole Microsoft blogging thing is fascinating to me, particularly, you know, them coming out of the DOJ and coming through the European Union trial, and the fact that the blogging thing really hasn't, I don't know, been brought into play in any of those scenarios yet. But, you know, the next time Microsoft gets in a legal round, it won't just be their emails that are subpoenaed by the Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. It could well be all of the blog transcripts from 1,600 bloggers over the course of the last couple of years. That will make for an interesting court case.
Yes, it will. And interesting, in the AMA workshop that we're doing, we're getting a lot of questions about that, about the legalities of blogs. What can people do and what can people not do? So we're thinking we're bringing an attorney onto the panel so they can answer some questions. But we've been hearing that more and more.
Well, I think it's an important part. I think it's still a bit that a lot of companies who are possibly even looking at this, or individuals that are looking at this, I mean, companies have email policies. Companies have a whole heap of policies in relation to what their staff can do. And if you're suddenly putting up a blog that purports to represent the company you work for, it has, huge legal implications, possibly.
Well, that goes back to the ethics things, and that goes back to the guidelines and the structure that marketers are putting on blogs. I mean, just think, 6 months ago, nobody told you how to do this. You're just sort of sensing your way around, reading blogs and doing what you thought worked. Now, all of a sudden, we have structures and strategy, and between you and me, it's the marketers that have done that.
And how do you think most traditional marketers are coming to terms with blogging? Is it still something that they are treating with caution, or are they now starting to jump in with both feet?
They're treating it with caution. In New York, I had several people come to me at the end of the day and said, we walked into this room as skeptics, but now we really want to explore it further. So while they weren't jumping up and down on the soapbox about blogs, they were a lot more open and they were willing to take it back to their company and say, let's do some exploring, let's see where this thing is going. I think it's something that you have to pay attention to. And I think marketers really need to pay attention to blogs.
Yeah, I guess for the last 12 months, a lot of the hype in the blogosphere has, you know, been about the echo chamber and bloggers telling bloggers how important bloggers are. And yeah, we brought down Dan Rather.
You've never been to an advertising awards summit, have you?
No. But I've sat
this
in enough...
This is nothing.
yeah, you're right. But, you know, I guess the mainstream acceptance in marketing and PR circles of blogs still seems to be a long way off. You want to make a prediction for when they'll go mainstream?
Scoble thinks 2006. At least that's what he's telling us, maybe because that coincides with the launch of his book.
Oh, you cynic. We're the cynics on this show, Toby.
But I don't know. I would think within the next 12 to 18 months, and I would think that as long as companies like GM and Boeing and HP are taking an interest, then we're going to see standards set and people are going to sit up and look and listen. I mean, gosh, if the vice chair of GM is blogging, do I want my chairman not to blog? I think not.
Yeah, but whilst we've seen a couple of people sort of get fired and a little bit of press around people getting fired for blogging over the last couple of years, including Mick and myself.
I didn't know that. You guys got fired for blogging?
We kind of fired ourselves over our blogs, didn't we, Mick? Is that how we put it? Yeah. But we both got friction from our employers about our blogs, and we both gave them the middle finger and walked out. And yeah, but I guess there's been some predictions that one of the things we will see this year is a major court case involving information that is put up on a blog that causes troubles. You know, I'm kind of half expecting to see us, you know, take a step or two backwards at some stage in the next 12 to 18 months when, with some big, some negative press, blogging, we're going to have a backlash, I guess is what I'm expecting at some stage.
Do you mean for bloggers that have personal blogs outside of a corporate blog?
No, I'm meaning that somebody with a corporate blog who posts something up that leads to a massive issue that can affect the share price or a legal issue with a large company and see a backlash in resulting in clamping down on corporate bloggings. Do you suspect that we'll see something like that at some stage? It has to be. It's inevitable, isn't it?
It's inevitable, and that's why the guidelines are important, because at least a corporation can say, this is what we told you to do and this is what we told you not to do. You're right.
That happened with me at Microsoft. You know, when one of the senior execs there started taking issue with my blog, I said, well, you know, there are no blogging guidelines for the company, and we had this whole issue about, well, if there are no guidelines, what are the guidelines? And you're right. I think organizations need to put that in place as quickly as possible. Need to publish something internally around, okay. If you're going to write a blog and you're talking about work-related issues, here are the guidelines we'd like you to work within. And have you got those published? Have the AMA published anything, or have the PDA published anything?
Nope, not yet. Nope. But that said, that you bring up a very interesting point. So a corporation publishes guidelines, and the bloggers that are blogging for a corporation are walking a fine line between what we're all calling the soul of blogs, which is putting a personal face to the company, and the company's guidelines. And how do you do that? I think that's what is going to be one of our challenges, to walk that line, to make sure that we can put that personalization on that blog, but at the same time adhere to the company's guidelines and not sell out. And I think that's what a lot of the old-time bloggers, put that in quotes, please, are very concerned about, is that we're losing the heart and soul of blogging. But if it's a business tool, there's going to be guidelines and there are going to be rules put on top of it and strategies.
Do we all think that we've got the vice president over there doing the GM blog thing. Do we think that that's being run past the PR department? I would assume it would be. I cannot imagine, having dealt with marketing PR people for the last 4.5 years, I cannot imagine an organisation the size of GM even allowing a vice president to let something go through without it being seen by the PR or the marketing guys.
Well, that brings up another point. Is that a blog then?
Well, I think the best guidelines I've seen on corporate or employee blogs were the ones that Ray Ozzie at Groove developed a couple of years ago now, sort of back mid-2002, I think. And he has a blog, and he developed some fairly simple guidelines. It's like 4 or 5 paragraphs around what they ask their employees to do if they're going to write a web blog that in any way, shape, or form relates to working at Groove. And I think something like that is just a bunch of, I think you can't be too prescriptive. I think there have to be some simple no-go zones and some simple guidelines about being respectful and, making sure that you are conscious of confidential information.
Well, a lot
that
of it's just standard common sense that you would use in an email as well.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
I think organizations are learning that they need to have these things in place not only for email but for instant messaging and for blogs now. Three technologies that have affected the way businesses can do business need to be looked at, and how the guidelines need to be there.
When I was at Microsoft, the basic rule of thumb I always used was that I would talk on my blog the same way that I would if I was having lunch with somebody from outside the company. What I told them, what I didn't tell them, how I framed it, it's the same as same approach you'd take with any external communication, surely.
Mm-hmm. I used to be a consultant for a fairly large management consulting company in another lifetime, and one of the things that they constantly were telling us is be careful what you say in airports and on airplanes because you never know who's going to be listening to you.
You know, I actually do that. I go out of my way to listen to people on airplanes.
There you go.
And I
that's
and
why they
over
told
people's
us
shoulders
because of you.
Too.
Have you gotten
exactly?
And what about do you read people's computer screens when you're on an airplane?
Yep, all yep. the time. And in fact, I've sat on planes and had my competition and all my clients, people from my client organization, sitting in the seat in front of me, talking, writing emails, or sitting beside you and going over printed reports, and I'm always just, you know, taking notes. It's amazing what people do in those situations.
It's pretty scary, actually.
That's just Cameron. He's pretty scary.
So tell us what you think about podcasting and the role of podcasting in marketing, Toby.
I think it's pretty interesting. And I have to tell you guys, I work virtually. And I have a little MP3 player that's in a package that I haven't taken out. It's not an iPod. I'm not really that cool. But nor can I afford it at the moment. But at any rate, but I listen to podcasts in back when I work. I download them and I listen to them as I work because I don't need to download them to get to work because I am at work. So it doesn't really matter. And Max doesn't care if there's a podcast going on. He just barks anyway. But I think it's going to be I think it's another way that corporations have to show a human face to the world. Because when you think about it, a voice and tones and audio sounds just gives another impression of who you are and what you're doing. So now you have a totally different impression of what Diva Marketing is all about, obviously, than you did before.
Yeah.
And without this podcast, you would have never known that I was a chick instead of a dude, right?
That's right. Or a Sheila.
And right, or a Sheila. And without listening to your podcast, I would never have known how wild and crazy you are because your blogs, even though they're pretty interesting, that doesn't come across. So I think that's one way that podcasts are going to help companies. And I also think they're going to be used in other ways. So they're going to be used in training, I believe. They're going to be used with value add. I can read a white paper and download it and read it, listen to it on an airplane, things like that. I think they'll be very interesting. I can see applications for the arts. In another lifetime, I was a theater major, and I can see theater groups downloading bits and pieces of productions and people listening to them. So.
Now is the winter of our discontent.
Oh,
dear.
Son of your.
And who
all
did
the
I
clouds
read about?
Which lowered on our house in the deep bosom of the ocean buried. Now are our brows bound with victorious reeds. Our bruised arms hung up for monuments. Sorry, I'll shut up now.
See, just like that.
It's like going back to the days of Orson Welles on the radio, right?
Possibly. Exactly.
Ooh.
But what do you think is going to happen with podcasts? Do you think they're going to become more sophisticated? Not that yours is not sophisticated, but...
I'm glad you asked. Mick and I are doing a number of things, actually. Yeah, we just... Should we announce this here, Mick? Do we have to get her under NDA first?
Well, this will be out... This is not going to be out tomorrow, so that's all right.
Oh, that's right. We're not live to air, I forget. We just launched a website today called thepodcastnetwork.com, where we sort of map out our plan to launch about 20 to 30 dedicated podcasts on a variety of different subjects over the course of the next couple of months, and we're looking for hosts to come on and help us run those. So we do think, you know, there's a huge opportunity for podcasts to become more sophisticated in the sense of dedicated shows, delivering intelligent, sometimes, not this show, but intelligent information to educate and stimulate audiences. There'll also be crap, like this show usually is, but I think from a corporate sense, when I'm in the US next week, I'm meeting with a client in the northwest to talk about actually to close a deal to launch their first podcast that I'm going to produce for them. And that's going to be designed to take about 500 of their employees around the world and do a bi-weekly show for those employees who are part of a particular team and try and just create a community sense with these people around the world. I'm going to get them on the show and interview them and talk about this new job that they're doing and interview different customers and partners that they have, et cetera, et cetera, to try and use the audio medium to bring them together, 500 people around the world, into a tight-knit community. So I do think that from a corporate sense, there's a lot of opportunities for podcasting as well over the course of the next year that we'll start to see emerge.
Interesting, very interesting. So you're going to start a network?
Yeah, the network idea Mick and I have been talking about for a couple of months. We just think that...
I mean, it's a really good way to provide niched content. This whole concept of, you know, even heading down, you know, talking about the sort of ITV stuff. It's this whole thing of, well, the big grand scheme has always been the content that I want when I want it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's having niche content delivered in a format that's actually, you know, well, when it's available, you know, when it's the right time for you to actually listen to that stuff. And I think we both feel that that's one of the bigger things in podcasting from the consumer sense, not from the, well, even from the business sense to a degree, from internally or business to business, but in that market where you want people to, where people want relevant information, why sit in the car listening to the radio when I can sit in the car listening to the sports show or listening to the art show or listening to the gadget show or listening to whatever the show may be?
You're right. I think you've hit upon two really powerful concepts. One is niched and one is when you want it. And what we've seen with the internet is consumers and customers are in control. They want information when they want it. And this just provides them another way to get it.
Yeah, and you know, when Mick first mentioned podcasting as a concept to me sort of July, I think, last year, just after Adam Curry started, you know, doing his show, it took me a while to get my head around the concept. I, like many people I've read since, sort of had the comeback, well, you know, I can read a blog faster than somebody else can. I thought it was talking blogs, you know, and I thought, well, I can read those faster than I can listen to them. And it, being a bit of a dumbass, it took me a couple of months to actually realize that there's a lot of times during the day when, unfortunately, I'm not sitting in front of a PC. And I'm in my car, I'm in a plane, you know, I'm going for a run, I'm at the gym. And I can either listen to music, I can listen to idiots on the radio going, well, it's 43 minutes past the hour here in Melbourne, and here's what happened to the football on the weekend, like I really give a shit. Or I could be listening to, you know, really bright, intelligent people talking about really smart ideas. Or I could listen to the G'day World podcast and, you know, just listen to us tell fart jokes all day. You know, whatever takes my... excuse me, my jollies at the time. But, you know, I see a world evolving where you've got llama breeders doing podcasts on llama breeding. Niche content delivered in an audio medium. I think it's going to be...
Because all those llamas are coming with iPod packs now, so it's important.
Well, they're the right colour. They're white.
Well, the divas like the pink ones, actually.
Philips are making a killing on that market, creating iPod players for llamas. It's huge.
You see, there's a niche for everything.
There you go.
And what do the kangaroos do?
Yeah, they keep them in their pouch.
Yes.
They have a...
Uh-huh.
So, Toby, what else has taken your interest of late? Apart from the G'day World podcast, what else has got you excited in the last couple of weeks?
Well, you know, I have to go back to the blog stuff. I'm sorry, but somebody called me an evangelist for blogs the other day, and I think you're right. And I think we need to have evangelists for blogs because, let me tell you, the business community still doesn't get it, even though we've just spent a significant time talking about blogs. For the most part, they're not there. It's just way far below the radar screen. So I am on the board of another association, I have no life, called the Atlanta Interactive Marketing Association. And in conjunction with PBA on the 10th of February, I think, this is not necessarily a plug, but we are going to have our first bloggers meetup in Atlanta. And so I'm really curious to see what's going to happen there. Bloggers just want to talk about blogging with bloggers, and it's in person. And you can do it on blogs and with emails and with Skype. But it's just really fun to talk with a whole bunch of bloggers at the same time.
Yeah, we were talking about that on the show recently, and it's a very American thing, isn't it, Mick?
Mm. It's not. Yeah, it's sort of strange. I mean, the whole meetup culture never took off in Australia. It's quite weird.
No? Well, Ben McConnell from the Church of the Customer has done what he's calling marketing wonks after all of the AMA workshops. He pulls everybody together, and the first time he did it was at a food court in Seattle. And we all thought, ooh, Ben, a food court, how tacky can you get? But it turned out to be great because we pulled tables together as people came in, and we all sat around, and it was fabulous.
Yeah, the food courts are great. In February, Scoble had a geek dinner that I was at Seattle at one of the food courts. And that was just like, it just made so much sense. A bunch of geeks with a couple of laptops in a food court. There probably would have been about 15 of us talking about stuff. But it's just the perfect environment to do it because it sort of, it opened it right up. I think there were people there who were students. There were people there who were senior level managers at Microsoft. It covered a really broad spectrum of the community. So it was quite a, the perfect environment to be doing those sorts of things. But unfortunately, in Australia, we seem to have an aversion to gathering in groups and admitting our geekiness.
Well, we're marketers, so we like to meet, and we like to drink, and we're going to do it in a bar.
And this is Atlanta. How far is Atlanta from Arizona?
Far. But if you're in Atlanta, let me know. You'll have a place to stay. Unless you're allergic to dogs.
Yeah, dogs are kind of stinky and they slobber everywhere, don't they?
Yeah, but Max is just little.
Oh, that's
so
okay.
He's
little
okay.
Dogs.
Little dogs are okay.
What sort of dog is Max?
He's a White West Highland Terrier. And he's being really good. He's not barking. So I can't believe we're talking about my dog on this podcast.
You know, that's the kind of show this is, Toby. We like to get people on and talk about their dogs.
Yeah. Well, we should be talking about Australian wine or something.
Oh, no, it's crap. Don't drink Australian wine.
Oh, don't be like Australian wine's all right.
You just want to get sponsors for the wine show.
that's one of your podcasts?
Yeah, we're going to do a wine show, but we're not going to talk about Australian wine. I spent a couple of weeks in...
We're going to talk about Australian wine. There's nothing wrong with Australian wine, matey.
Yeah, it's full of 202 preservatives,
well,
man. It gives me
buy
ulcers.
Don't
it's crap.
Buy with preservatives.
You're flat out getting one without preservatives. Oh. Drink good wine from Italy. This is my call to people. Yeah. Umbrian wine, the Sagrantino from Montefalco in Umbria. Sorry, I spent a couple of weeks in Umbria last year, so I kind of developed a taste for Italian wine.
So tell me what other podcasts you're going to do. You're going to do wine or you're going to do food?
Hey, whose show is this? We're talking to you. We're
maybe I'm auditioning
you
for something.
Well, go up to thepodcastnetwork.com and check it out. Lots of shows. We'd love to have you come and do a show. We've got the New Marketing World. Is that the name you came up with, Mick?
Well, that's a temporary name, yeah.
Yeah, all the names are placeholders, really.
Definitely
what was the one we came up with last night for the Gadget Show? The Gym Crack Show.
Yes.
You ever heard of the term Gym Crack?
Never. What is that?
It means gadget, apparently. We found it on thesaurus.com last
gadget
night.
Gadget or something. I don't know.
Is it an Aussie term?
No.
American.
It's an American term?
Sounds American to me.
Yeah.
Or Irish, maybe. Ah, the luck of the gym crack to your laddie.
But so to answer your question, we're currently planning shows that run in sort of several different streams. We're going to have shows that From a business perspective, we're going to do like a show on business blogging, one on personal productivity tools, interviews with CIOs, marketing, the new world of marketing. The Executive Woman is a show that I'm really interested in producing. I think...
Now I know he's reading off a list.
Yeah, I am reading off a list. And then we're going to do some tech and science shows. We're going to do a tablet PC show, mobile show, digital photography shows, science shows, Microsoft shows.
Apple movie shows, Linux shows, movie shows.
Then we're going to do the lifestyle shows, the comedy show, the travel show, the movie show, the music show, the gaming show, the book show.
You've got it all set. Politics. Let me give you another one to add to your list that I bet you it's not there and I bet you haven't thought about. But yeah. This is coming from a marketing perspective.
Yeah.
A show for kids.
Do kids have MP3 players?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Do you have kids?
Nope.
If you had kids...
Kids have mobile phones.
No kids. But I have friends that have kids and they have iPods.
Really?
The parents don't have iPods, but the kids have iPods.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Kids show.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, put that in your pot and let it bubble for a while.
Hey, do you know, you just made me think of something. Do you know Buzz Brugman?
Yes. Well, I don't know him personally, but I've read his blog.
When we were talking to Buzz recently, Buzz is the honorary chairman of this show. Like 90% of the guests that we've had on the show have come from introductions from Buzz. But we had Buzz on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he was... suggesting that we focus our efforts not because we were talking about doing something for kids, and he was saying he reckons the fastest growing online demographic are the baby boomers, the people who are, you know, the 50 plusers that are looking to retire and have lots of money to spend, and something trillions of dollars they're sucking out of the American economy at the moment alone.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's another show for people with Alzheimer's on Viagra, the Viagra show.
Ready for this one? In the States, I understand that Medicare is now going to pay for Viagra.
Oh, what a beautiful thing that is.
Yeah. Boy, this show is going downhill quickly.
No, this is the good stuff. This is, you know, you're sort of coming down to our level now. A show
it's
about...
only take... Yeah.
Show about Viagra. I like that.
Oh, let's not go there.
So what kind of a podcast do you see yourself running, Toby? What are your interests outside of marketing and blogs?
I have no life, I told you.
But I see you were... The Atlanta Business Chronicle called you a fireball project director.
They did. You know, you have to take those quotes where you can and leverage them however you can.
Is that a good thing?
Well, it sure gets
noticed. Does that mean all your projects go up in flames, or does it mean...
don't tell anybody. I thought I was hiding that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, my background is theater. I love theater. I love to cook. I do a little gardening. My roses are like... Poor roses are not as good as they used to be. What else? I don't know. What do you guys do?
Don't turn it around on us.
Would you find a gardening podcast interesting while you're out in the garden with your iPod on?
Would I do that? Yeah, that'd be interesting.
No!
See, Cameron, I told you.
That's a terrible idea. I keep telling him gardening is a terrible idea.
I keep telling him there are millions of people who love gardening who spend hours upon hours outdoors.
You know,
them is to have mobile portable music devices now that you can load up with. It's a perfect idea.
I live in a townhouse with a patio. I've spent my entire life trying to get away from having to touch anything that's living, so, you know.
There's a guy in Atlanta that has a talk show every Saturday morning on gardening, 4 hours. It's one of the most popular shows on this radio station.
Yeah, no, gardening is huge. So gardening is an idea for a show.
Yeah.
Now, see, the thing with your blog... if I may say so, Toby, is it's very hard to get any personal sense of who you are on this. It's very, very marketing and businessy. You don't really let us in.
Well, tell me, give me some critique on my blog, because I need that. What should I do?
Well, I think you need to let us in and tell us a little bit about, you know, Toby the person.
Okay.
And this is your opportunity now to get started on the podcast. Tell us about Toby the person. We like to get to know... our guests. We want to know a little bit about you, a little bit more than just, you know, talking about blogs. It's a little bit boring, blogs, really, for bloggers, you know. We've done that. What's your favorite book?
I heard that one of you guys liked Atlas Shrugged.
That's me. That's Cam. That's my favorite book, yeah.
And I have to tell you, that book really had an effect on me. Truly,
good
it
or
did.
Bad?
Good. It had a good effect on me. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I was told to read that book by a Once Upon a Time lover who didn't even buy me the booklet. He was that cheap. But he said, read this book, because... So I did. And,
I gave that book as that was my standard birthday present to give people for many, many years. I'd give them that book until I discovered that none of them actually read it. They would get like 4 pages in and then it would get put on the bookshelf, and I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll just buy them something dumb. I'll buy them a John Grisham trashy novel or something.
I like that too. I like trashy novels. I like novels of women detectives.
Warshawski?
Susan Campbell?
Yep. Warshawski, I like that. So, I love jazz. I like some rock stuff. Yeah, I love jazz.
That's one of the things I love about visiting the U.S. is the jazz that I get to see. Going to New York and just plonking myself down, and, you know, I go to the village and chuck myself in, and just the jazz in the U.S. is just fantastic.
Are you going to be in Manhattan?
I am going to Manhattan on this trip, yeah. I'm doing Seattle, then Arizona for demo, and then I'm going to Manhattan for a few days, catching up with Steve Rebell and a few of my friends over there.
He's a wonderful guy. He spoke with us on in the New York AMA thing. It was great. Very captivating. Yeah,
we had him on the show a week or two ago. We haven't posted that one up yet. It's in the can, though. And he was fabulous, funny, and really good guy to chat to.
There are some people that you get a sense of, apparently not me, from their blogs. And I get a sense of Steve as one of the gentlemen of the Internet. He's just so nice and so kind and very, very smart.
Yeah, he's like one of these Scoble guys, right? But see, he's got his photo up in his blog, so you need to put your photo up in your blog so we get a sense of who you are. We need to.
All right, I'll do that.
You need to let us in a little bit, Toby. We'll all know that you're a Sheila.
But wasn't it a kick when you first talked to me? Is that why it took so long for you to get back to me, because you said, uh-oh?
It's like, oh, what do we do? No, I said to Mick, you know, when you answered the Skype when I first called you, I expected you to say, hold on, I'll just go get Toby for you.
It works to my advantage every once in a while when I'm in a business mode, especially in the South, you know, because these old Southern good old boys don't necessarily like doing business with women. So sometimes it works to my advantage. But who did you think was writing a blog on diva marketing? I mean, how bizarre is that?
That is, and I never stopped to give it any thought. And, you know, and I've read through your blog, and it always says, you know, she says this and she says that. Still just didn't get through the filter.
That's all right. I was doing some writing with a blog called Blog Critics. And I spoke to Eric Olson, and when Eric Olson called me, the first thing he said was, you're a girl. I said, yeah, I guess
I am. By gosh.
That's an interesting blog if you haven't tapped into that one.
No, which one was that?
Blog Critics.
Oh, yes, I've read Blog Critics, yes.
Yeah.
That's a good site.
It is a good site.
Well, Toby, I think our allocated hour is almost up. Most of our listeners get a little bit cranky with us if we go. Actually, they get cranky with us if we go over the 20-minute mark. But we like to cram. You don't get to know somebody in 20 minutes. I think we've got to know a little bit about Toby Bloomberg. And are you related to the mayor of New York? Is that just coincidence, or are you?
My aunt tells me that we're related to all of the Bloombergs. I don't think Michael knows that.
No. You didn't call on him when you were there and try and, you know, talk to him about his blog? Does he have a blog?
I don't think he does.
He certainly... No, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, I don't think Bloomberg Financial Network has a blog either.
Maybe I should pitch it when I go over there.
I think you should.
I'm sure I can get to see him. I'm sure. Hey, and that's the other thing. You don't know Lou Reed by any chance, do you?
This is the other question.
I don't know who.
Lou Reed.
No.
I just, you know, I'm playing on the whole 6 degrees of separation thing. Everybody I get on the show from the US, I ask them if they know Lou Reed. But oh, well, lost out there. No Lou Reed contacts. All right, Toby, now a couple of last things. We need you to give out a big g'day world for our show reel.
G'day world.
Come on, you got to do more than that. G'day world, this is Toby Bloomberg, president of Atlanta-based Bloomberg Marketing.
G'day world, this is Toby Bloomberg, president of Bloomberg-based... No, can I do it again?
No, sorry, that's it. You had to get one shot.
There you go.
Good stuff, Toby. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show. It's been a lot
of
fun.
Thanks, Kevin. It's been a riot.
Thank you very much.
You guys are as wonderful as I've heard.
Oh, well, you're too sweet. We'll let you know when the show goes up, and we really... looking forward to reading your blog, especially now that we know you're a Sheila. And you keep in touch now, you hear?
All right. Bye, y'all.
See you, Toby.
Bye, y'all.
Not where we are again. Ethnic influence. Off the Murray. Got it.
G'day world, g'day Mick, how are you my buddy?
G'day Cam, how
this
you doing?
This is
mate?
Jeremy Wright for the Podcast Network, and this is the Biz Blog.
I'm looking for Claiborne. Do you
g'day
know
everybody,
where...
and welcome to the Gadget Show. Today
hey,
we're
how you doing? I'm
Dubba,
it's the Jazz Show on the Podcast Network. The
welcome
best
to
jazz
the Tablet PC Show, my name is James Kendrick. Today is Sunday,
welcome
March
30th. Welcome to the second Mobiles Podcast on the Podcast Network. This is Ewan Spence.
It's the movie show! G'day, Ewan.
And bye for action!
Hello, g'day, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Tech Addiction Show. The Tech Addiction Show.
G'day, folks. Welcome to the VC Show. It's Wednesday, the 9th of March, 2005. Just
say yes if you want me. Yes if you need me. Say yes to podcasting at www.thepodcastnetwork.com. Not just your lover, but your